Good afternoon. You're listening to In Context on WPKN. My name is Ken McDermott Rowe. I'm here with my fellow host, Gus Cantavaro. And behind the boards doing double duty is our military affairs commentator, Marshawn McDermott Rowe.
Good afternoon.
In Context is a live public affairs call-in show. We're on Mondays from noon until 1, but I want to note that next Monday we will not be on because we're going to have special programming honoring Dr. Martin Luther King. So tune in next Monday for that special programming on WPKN on Dr. Martin Luther King. We normally cover political subjects here in the show on In Context, but we thought we'd get the new year off to start on a different foot with self-improvement. If you want to change the world, a good place to start is yourself. So we're going to, later in the show, in a few minutes, we're going to have a special guest who's going to talk about exercise, nutrition, how you can improve yourself in the coming year. First, we'd like to take an opportunity, a few minutes here, to review some of the important news stories and of recent days. And one very important story that was reported by the Israeli intelligence service, Debka, over the weekend was that the first of a large contingent of, actually a small army of American troops has started to go to Israel. Marshawn, could you talk about American troops going to Israel?
Absolutely. Presumably, these troops are going for to take part in a military exercise, a missile defense exercise, which is supposed to protect Israel in the event that war breaks out with Iran. They believe that possibly Israel will be Iran's first target. But what's ludicrous about the idea of it being just a military exercise is the fact that we're shipping in 9,000 U.S. soldiers plus Aegis missiles and THAAD anti-missile missiles. And so it appears to me, at least as a military analyst, to be preparations for a war, for a major war. You don't just ship in 9,000 troops for an exercise.
And there's a lot of emphasis in this large exercise that's going to take place in Israel in the spring on missile defense. That is in anticipation, Debka said, of a war with Iran.
Precisely. That's what they're preparing for, is for Iran to start lobbing missiles at Israel.
And one thing Debka mentioned is that there seems to be a general feeling that the war against Iran is going to start in 8 to 9 months, which would say September. And, of course, you can see the propaganda machines in the United States drumming up support for the war. One thing I'm wondering is the war in Iran predicated on the successful overthrow first of the government of Syria by the Western forces.
Absolutely. There's a U.S. timetable and an Iranian timetable. The U.S. timetable and the Israeli timetable is to attack Iran after Syria falls. If Syria falls, Lebanon is left on its own and Iran is relatively isolated. But with the Iranians ones, they want to force us to fight on a three-front war, fighting in Iran, fighting in Syria, fighting in Lebanon, and then goodness knows if the Chinese come to their aid, we might well be fighting in the Korean Peninsula as well.
I said Western forces, but actually it's Western-backed forces. As Debka reported in another article, a large contingent of Libya Islamist fighters, the same al-Qaeda-linked people that we used to overthrow Gaddafi, have been flown by our ally Qatar to join the Syrian Liberation Army, is that what it's called?
Syrian Free Army.
I'm sorry.
Which is also interesting, the way we name these folks, Syrian Free Army, kind of brings to mind the French Free Army.
Well,
Charles
of course,
de Gaulle.
We had the Syrian National Council. We had the Iraqi National Council. So this pattern seems to repeat. And the Syrian Free Army is stationed, it's around 20,000 troops stationed on the Turkish border of Syria. So it's not clear, listeners, exactly what's going on in Syria. The Syrian government is claiming that Western-backed Islamist fighters are the ones who are blowing up the buildings and shooting the Syrian soldiers. Although in our corporate media in the United States, we certainly get the impression, we don't get this impression. The impression is that these are peaceful protesters who for no apparent reason are being gunned down by the Assad government, which of course is a dictatorship. There's no question about that. But we've reported that way back in August, Debka had reported that NATO was drawing up plans for inserting weapons and insurgents into Syria to destabilize the government. So this has been in the drawing boards, in the works for a long time.
Precisely, and I'm sure one thing that many of our listeners probably aren't aware of, because it hasn't gotten any coverage in the American media, is the Russians have moved a fleet, namely a U.S. aircraft carrier. A U.S. aircraft carrier, Russian aircraft carrier, to the Syrian port of Tartus. Now, we knew they were in transit there, But today, the Russian fleet arrived at the port of Tartus. Our fleet left the Mediterranean and has moved towards in the direction of the Persian Gulf. And the French have sent their fleet to the Syrian coast. Now, the Russians ostensibly have done this as a show of force, but it's also a show of solidarity with President Assad.
Now, as we seem to be heading towards a war with Iran, it had the only candidate in the debate which has raised the issue has been Ron Paul, who came in third in Iowa. Gus, could you talk about the Iowa primary a little bit and what may happen tomorrow in New Hampshire?
Yeah. excuse my voice, everybody. I have a bit of a cold. But, the Iowa primary, and this is one thing that I hate so much about our political process, is that it gets covered to the point of saturation where it becomes a sporting event rather than a political process. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You get it's like the Super Bowl. You know, it's like round-the-clock coverage, and you get all the talking head pundits, to all the famous people that come out and give their opinions, and it's just nothing but rhetoric. And no one actually backs anything up with fact. It's just all opinion given as fact. Nothing's ever backed up. So, for example, the debate last the other night with George Stephanopoulos, he was asking very questions that are like attack questions, but without bracketing them with any kind of backing or fact or anything like that. Just saying that some people think, you know, and using that old gag. And that's not a journalistic tactic. That's just rhetoric again. It's an attack. But anyway, in the Iowa caucus, the entrance polls showed that Ron Paul was winning 24% to 21%. And the actual result was that he came in third with 21.5%, and Romney and Santorum effectively tied at 25%. There was a lot of interesting stuff that happened because of the threats by the hacking group Anonymous. They changed the counting mechanism that they normally do from the open tallies where everyone raises their hand and you know who voted for who and you know who won right there on the spot in each of the districts. And instead, they did written ballots where they called them into the central district and tallied them up in secret. Now, this is not the way the Iowa caucus is usually run in the past. This is the first time they've done it this way.
You see, I'm always leery whenever the government or any governmental entity say, we're going to count your votes in secret.
Yeah, we're going to use computers. Well, in Ohio 2004.
Professionals, leave it up to us. We have your best interest at heart. And there was even, I don't have her name, but there was a, you can find it online pretty quickly, there was a female member of the Republican caucus in Iowa was asked on, I think it was a WABC here in New York City, what the plan was to deal with Ron Paul. And she said, don't worry, he won't win. I have it from a good source that we're going to make sure he doesn't.
Don't you love democracy?
Ron Paul is a real problem.
He's a threat.
A real threat, I think, to both parties, because he's raising fundamental issues on the war, and not just this war, but the whole idea that we should change our foreign policy to one of non-intervention, like we had before. Before we became involved.
And after midnight, all these words. Karl Rove, being interviewed by Fox News, he came on and was asked what his inside sources had told him about the result. And he said, I have it from a good source that Romney is going to win by 8 votes. And the question was, I think it was Wallace, I forget the guy, and he said, who's your source? And he said, it's a reliable source.
They sound like the elections in a third world country. Mubarak always wins by 98%. Then they had free and open elections, and Mubarak won by 97.5%.
Regardless of whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, it would be a good thing for this country to have a debate on our foreign policy,
sure,
on the Federal Reserve.
No.
And that seems to be what the powers that be desperately do not.
No, instead you get guys like Santorum that are manufactured by the media. He comes out of nowhere, pulls into a statistical tie with Romney in Iowa, and now all of a sudden he's the center of all the conversation around the country in the national debate.
And diverts the discussion to contraception.
And it's ridiculous. And he starts talking about how Iran is the major threat, you know, how we need to deal with Iran and Syria, and that he basically says that he wants to sponsor state-sponsored revolutions in these countries. Now, this guy obviously has no sense of history here, because as Ron Paul mentioned multiple times, Operation Ajax in 1953 reinstated the Shah, and all we've done is destabilize that country for the past 40 years. There's been nothing there but our influence subversively behind the scenes, and now they have the Ayatollah, and he was talking about the Twitter revolution in the last debate, and was talking about how they had the chance to overthrow, and if Ron Paul was president, then they would not have even had that chance, and he would just leave it to being oppressed. But the point is, the Ayatollah chooses both candidates in the election, so it doesn't matter who wins. They're both puppets of the Ayatollah. So it doesn't matter. He's completely missing the point.
Well, and one thing that really strikes me is that people like Santorum and Romney, you know, advocate violent insurrection is what I gather from what you're saying.
Well, Romney wants whatever Israel wants. He said, I'll consult with Israel. And Santorum, you know, with his cheesy grin, just says, we're going to bring it to the fight to them.
But doesn't it strike you as odd that we accuse Iran of, you know, harboring and supporting terrorists? Meanwhile, what we're doing, it is known and is recognized by the world that Mujahideen al-Haq, the MKO, and the Jundallah, the forces that we've been supporting via the CIA, and the people that Romney and Santorum are advocating supporting, mm-hmm. are terrorists who blow up women and children.
Well, they're terrorists. They're Wahhabists. They're terrorists. They're extremists. And Santorum shows his ignorance by saying, we now have all these extremist countries in the Middle East, but like an idiot doesn't even realize Libya is an extremist Wahhabist country now because of our influence.
We put them in. Well, we're going to follow both the war and the election very carefully here in Context. But right now, why don't we take a musical break?
Terrific.
And we will be back with our special guest who's going to give you some information about fitness, exercise, nutrition to help you improve yourself in the coming year.
All right, let's go.
No one likes us. I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven knows we try. But all around, even our old friends put us down. Let's drop the big one and see what happens. We give them money, but are they grateful? No, they're spiteful and they're hateful. They don't respect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one and pulverize them. Asia's crowded and Europe's too old. Africa's far too hot and Canada's too cold. And South America stole our name. Let's drop the big one, there'll be no one left to blame us. We'll save Australia. Don't wanna hurt no kangaroo. Build an all-American amusement park there. They got surfing too. Boom goes London and boom Paris. More room for you and more room for me. In every city, the whole world round, will just be another American town. Oh, how peaceful it will be. We set everybody free. You wear a Japanese kimono, babe, and there'll be Italian shoes for me. They all hate us anyhow. So let's drop the big one now. Let's drop the big one now.
And good afternoon. That was, of course, the great Randy Newman. And you're listening to In Context on WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport, Connecticut, streaming at WPKN.org. And we have a very interesting show today. Our guest is going to talk about self-improvement in exercise, nutrition, and all-around health. Gus, could you introduce our guest?
Yes, our guest is Chaba Peshi, and he's a fitness and nutrition expert and personal trainer. He has a master's degree in health and sports science and a BA in diet and food. He is the founder of the Academy of Exercise Science. As a trainer, oops, did we drop call?
I think we lost him.
We'll get him right back.
Yeah, we'll talk for a minute.
Sorry, folks, bear with me.
No problem. As a trainer, he worked with people ranging from Olympic athletes to those of us who are just looking to improve our overall health and appearance. And I met Chaba early last year. And I spoke at length with him about his views on fitness and health. And as you know, that's something that's a pet issue of mine. I really take pride in making good choices with food and fitness and lifestyle.
Gus has a body made for TV, while mine, on the other hand, is made for radio.
That's very kind of you to say. And it's ironic that we're going to be talking to him today, because during my move over the weekend, not only did I run myself down so much that I got sick, I also threw my back out. So I can't wait to talk to him.
And Shaba, we'll be taking calls too.
Yes, we would love to hear all of your questions out there.
So we'll be giving out the phone number in a little bit in the program.
Yeah, we're going to run through really quickly and get his introduction, and then as soon as we get him back online. And Shaba, are you with us?
Hello, Shaba.
You got to pot it up?
Yeah.
Hello.
Shaba, are you there? Hello? Shaba, can you hear us? Can you... March, can you just get him on the handset and...
Roger.
All right. No big deal. We were warned when coming into the studio earlier that there were some gremlins in the system again today. They may have made a reappearance for the new year, just to remind us that they're ever-present, which is why we need your support, listeners. We do.
And we do have a fundraiser coming up starting on January the 30th. The first day,
yes.
We will be there to
first
kick it
off.
It coincides with our war report, and we'll be asking for money and giving news about the war.
But one of the important reasons I wanted to get Shaba on today to speak with us is because we, as a society, you know, we've gotten so sidetracked from our natural way of living. You walk into any office building, and chances are you may not even see windows. You see cubicles. You see people typing at their desks, sitting in chairs under fluorescent lights for 8 to 15, 16 hours a day. They, in the wintertime, arrive in the dark, and they leave in the dark. So you could, for months on end, never see the sun during the winter periods, especially up here in New England in the Northern Hemisphere. And that is a very unnatural way of living.
We're really detached from
very detached. And, you know, we're told from every angle, you need to wear sunscreen, stay out of the sun, don't work hard, rest, you know, and like everything that people do is counterintuitive to our natural, you know, human evolution.
Yeah,
where we used to work with our hands. We used to hunt with spears, climb in trees and run barefoot through the plains. And look what we've become. We've become sedentary, loads of flesh that are driven around on four wheels. Like, have you ever seen the movie WALL-E, the Pixar movie?
No.
It's got a hilarious depiction of the future humans, where everybody rides around in these suspensor beds.
I see.
And they're all just like these fat loads that can't even communicate
can't even
with
walk.
Each other. They can't even walk. If one of the beds breaks down, they have to have a robot come and, you know, forklift them onto a new bed.
Yeah, this is
far from the truth.
This is not evolution.
No, and this, if you've, you know, middle America, or, you know, most of the world that just eats, most of America that just eats fast food, grain-fed beef and you know, hormone-induced animals by the boatload. This is the what we're turning ourselves into. It's a completely counterintuitive lifestyle from what our natural systems are supposed to run in.
That's,
you know,
right.
We're supposed to absorb minerals from the earth. You know, if you work in the garden, don't wear gloves because you actually absorb the minerals through your skin. Now, Shaba, are you with us finally?
Yes, I'm here.
All right.
Hi, Shaba. Gus, Ken, and Marshawn.
So glad to talk to you. And I ran through your intro and gave a little bit of my point of view on why I wanted to talk about this today. But could you just give us quickly your background and how you got into health and fitness?
Yeah, I started when I was a little child. So I was always a competitive athlete in track and swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I just followed my dreams and things that I was really interested about, the human body and the performance,
mm-hmm.
as well as physical and mental. So I finished my studies in clinical dietetics and nutrition, and then later sport and health sciences,
mm-hmm.
became strength and conditioning specialist, and then I started working with athletes, professional athletes, and everybody else. My youngest client is a 6-year-old kid.
Mm.
The oldest is a 101-year-old lady.
Wow, 101. Now, and you're originally from Hungary, so you actually have a different perspective on lifestyle than the traditional American lifestyle, where we grow up here and we're taught to just basically watch TV, use the computer, and you do as little as possible in order to, you know, get things achieved.
It's pretty similar. I mean, the biggest differences may be in the food industry.
Okay.
that I experience here.
What do you see? How is the food industry here different?
Pardon?
How is the food industry in America different from Europe?
The chemicals, the level of chemicals, I think, is a little bit higher, and the whole processing.
Okay. So now, since we're talking about nutrition here for a minute, and I mentioned earlier that it's ironic we're talking about health and fitness today because I was moving over the weekend and I actually run myself down so much that I got a cold and threw my back out in the same day. So it's kind of funny that we're talking about nutrition here, but I know, I mean, I when I don't eat well, I get sick. You know, everyone gets sick, and I hadn't been sick in over 2 years, but I worked so much in December. And I was neglecting that, and I was eating takeout and not working out. And can you just talk a little bit about how important nutrition is to our lifestyle and how it keeps us healthy?
Yeah, nutrition is basically the building blocks. If you think about it, that you create all of your cells from the food, from what you eat,
okay,
then that makes sense. And sometimes people go to buy food like just they would buy gas in the car, and they go for the cheapest, but I would go for the highest quality because that's how you create yourself. That's why you are what you eat. It's completely true, that saying. So basically, it can be also the recovery. If you don't sleep enough, these two things that I'm always emphasizing with the clients and the athletes, that they tend to neglect. They always think that workout is the most important thing. No, the actual power is the sleeping. While you are sleeping, that's when things are happening in your body. Mm. And the building blocks are the food that you put in.
Even to the point of like learning, education, when we dream, when we go into that REM sleep, that's our brain solidifying synapses where we learn and we remember what we've learned. So it's almost like if you practice a sport, like kicking a soccer ball or something like that, and you're trying to get fine finesse on your kick, when you sleep, your brain is cemented that connection in. So when we dream, we're actually embedding our memories. So sleeping is incredibly important, not only to just fitness and health, but for even our education.
Yeah, and if you think about it, we spend one third almost of our life with sleeping. So it's not a joke. It's really important. All of these cycles that are coded in the physiological systems are coming from back hundreds of thousands of years. So mm-hmm. Few hundred years of different lifestyle, even if you would like to change it, won't work. So we have to follow the rules, basically the manual for the human body. That's what I...
Now, what about our lifestyle today of typically being sedentary? We see even children who should be out running around expending all their energy, instead using, playing like Xbox and PlayStation, where they think that they're being exercised because they're playing fast twitch games that require intense attention, like shooting games. It's just, all it is just simulated exercise, and it makes their brain work fast because they're experiencing rapid reflex, but they're not actually exercising their bodies. So it's just actually just stressing you out rather than helping you develop. Do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I think it's not even close to the activities that you can do outside. Basically, you are inside in a room. The level of intensity is a lot less. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be really good for some brain patterns, developing the kids' learning abilities and others. But the other day I was just talking to a physiologist professor, and he said that basically the whole science of physiology should be rewritten because the healthy ranges in the blood and all of the organs, how they are functioning, could be like athletes are functioning because that's the healthy range of everything in the body. And then basically the reference numbers that we were learning about is based on sedentary population. So that's the reality.
Now, how dangerous is it as a society for us to develop a sedentary lifestyle? I mean, we have rampant depression and low levels of satisfaction in our lives. You know, we have people developing all kinds of disorders at very young ages now. I mean, even things like, Alzheimer's now is affecting people in their 30s and 40s. Or what about, like, people who have to, have libido problems or something, and they have to take Viagra, and they're only in their early, 40s and 50s. But, you ask them what they do for exercise, and there's absolutely nothing there. You know, they just spend all day in an office. And you wonder, why they have physiological or hormonal imbalances.
Yeah, Yeah, it's. I mean, it's pretty simple because the whole body was evolved like a tremendous amount of work. So mm-hmm. intensity that we used to use even a few hundred years ago, it's 10 times or 20 times that mm-hmm. we're doing right now. And that's how the organs and all of our systems are functioning in a healthy way. So if we sit, the body was not designed to that kind of lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
A three-dimensional moving miracle of the human body, so it has to be beaten. And then even if I'm working with sedentary people, I'm always forcing them to push themselves harder and harder, because then there will be some really beneficial adaptations at the cellular level mm-hmm. that can contribute to a long and healthy.
If you have a sedentary job, Shaba, this is Ken, and you don't do any kind of physical work, how many times a week should you exercise, and for how long a period?
It depends on how much time you have. If you have time for an hour of workout, then 3 times a week can be enough. If less, then I would say 5 times 30 minutes. That is essential for optimum health.
And how would you rate between, say, running, exercises which are meant to increase your endurance, and exercises like lifting weights, which are, you know, bulking up on your muscle? How would you divide between those two?
I mean, if you like lifting weights, you can combine the two type of workouts, because if you do a high-pace workout, like you jump from one exercise to the next, you can have both. You can have a nice resistance workout combined with cardiovascular training.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good time saver, and then you are working on all of your energy systems. And
is this something somebody could do in their home with a little equipment, or should they join a gym?
Of course, but what is really important to learn the proper movement mechanics.
But so you could do it at home, with a minimal equipment, or should a person join a well-equipped gymnasium?
I would recommend to see a professional before they start, just to clear up the faulty movement patterns. But after, yeah, you can do a program just by using your own body. You don't need anything else. You can have a nice sequence of exercises that you can learn with a professional. And
A couple sessions with a trainer can really make a big difference, because you can learn how you may have been working out in the wrong ways, where you can actually injure yourself instead of getting stronger. So, I mean, you might be doing things that are completely counterintuitive and hurting yourself rather than making it any better. So you really should see a trainer.
Yes, and that's what you can see during the years. So a person joins the gym and he just starts to work out on her or his own.
And may not see any improvement.
Let's 5 years accumulating some nice amount of injuries. Like
listeners are going to open the
how to starting, for example, how to walk, how to squat, the lunge movement patterns, how to lift up anything from the floor that you can use at home, just everyday sparing strategies at home.
Listeners, let's open the phone line. Do you have the number there, Gus?
Yes.
So listeners can speak to Shaba and ask their questions about their health, nutrition, exercise routines. Shaba is a professional trainer. He has a great knowledge of nutrition. So give him a call.
And the phone number is 203-336-9756. It's 203-336-9756. Now, Shaba, I wanted to ask you a little bit about how can we keep a healthy immune system through diet and exercise during this time of the year, the flu and the cold season? I ran myself down. I got sick. It's guaranteed practically. If you're not healthy, if you're not checking up on yourself and really sticking to your regimen, you're going to get sick. You're going to get worn down. What do you have to say about that?
First of all, again, sleeping. You have to sleep between 7.5 to 9 hours. It doesn't matter what other people say. If they function like 5 hours, that's still not enough. That's what the research says, at least 7.5. So you have to be rested and providing the recovery for your body.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, healthy nutrition, the least amount of processed food, try to go for fresh, the seasonal mm-hmm. products always, personal hygiene, and maintaining a nice activity level cardiovascularly.
Can you expand on the nutrition element? Yeah, should people be taking multivitamins or specific vitamins, or is it eating organic?
Yeah, I always try to go organic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the winter, multivitamin mineral complex won't hurt, but Yeah, nutrients are always better than any kind of supplements.
Okay, so getting your nutrition from the food rather than supplementing it from vitamins. I mean, especially because most people don't know about vitamins, they're going to go and they're going to buy a cheap vitamin that is basically synthetic vitamins, and you're not even going to be getting any benefit out of that. Now, what about like diets that, like fad diets? You know, I have family members or friends of mine who would go on like a no fat diet or something like that. And, you know, they may buy the leanest of the meats and have no fat and because they're trying to get skinny or lose weight. But, you know, isn't it true that you actually have to have some fat in your diet in order to absorb the nutrition?
Yeah, fats are really important. Without fats, we wouldn't be alive. So fats, there are certain fatty acids that are essential, just like vitamins or amino acids. Without them, these are primary functions, like hormonal balance, nervous system, the wall of all of our cells. So it's one of the most important nutrients, yeah.
So in other words, when we're cooking and we're buying high quality ingredients and it's organic meats, you know, maybe non grain fed meat, like grass fed beef or high quality free range chicken, we shouldn't be trimming every little piece of fat off. We shouldn't be being so obsessed with the calorie count.
Not at all. It's most about the quality of the food, what we eat. So we have to eat whole foods, whole meals.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is really important, the exercise activity.
Okay.
As we increase our activity, then we can eat more freely and even more than ever before.
Now, what about, could you maybe dispel the myth about people will starve themselves and then work out? I've known people who do this, and I try to tell them, don't do that. You're actually hurting yourself because your body will go into like a starvation mode, and it will save the fat instead of burning it. But I'm not a professional. Am I right or wrong there?
Yeah, starving is not a good idea. So before your workouts, you have to be loaded. Your energy stores should be loaded. So, I mean, 2-3 hours before your workout, you should have a nice, solid pre-workout meal.
Uh-huh.
It's really important, as well as the post-workout meal.
Which is what, like high protein?
A balanced food intake, like protein, fats, carbohydrates, everything has to be there.
Okay.
I believe we have a caller on the line for Chava.
Yes, this is Jeremy from New York. Go ahead, Jeremy.
You're on the air, Jeremy, with Chava. What's
Hello?
Your question?
Yes, go ahead.
You're on the air.
Oh, hey, sorry. I had a quick question. Recently, I've been involved in like a high, I guess, plant-based protein diet.
Okay.
And it consists mainly of just beans.
Beans.
What other recommendations would you have for the best type of nutrients or food to get that helps, you know, with just maintaining a healthy, nutritional body, I guess, or diet?
On a plant-based diet?
Like beans, yeah. I eat a lot of beans and kale, broccoli, bok choy, watercress, a lot of vegetarian-based stuff.
Sounds pretty good.
Basically,
it's all right. It's not bad.
Variability. So try as many different sources as you can, combining the beans with grains.
Caller, can you turn your radio off, please?
Yes. I just turned it off.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Chava.
Hello? I can't hear anyone.
Oh.
Combining the beans with grains, and then basically...
Hello?
Hello, yes.
What's wrong with the caller?
Hello? Caller's
caller, can you hear us? You can't hear us.
Well.
Wow, there must be some weird stuff going on with
I'm
the
here.
Phone. All right, maybe he can call turn his phone, his radio back on, and take the answer off the air. Chava, go ahead. Address the question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you see the colors of the rainbow. That's how you should pick up all of the plant-based nutrients.
Okay, so then you don't just want to have green.
No.
Okay, so that we should be looking at peppers, tomatoes, you know, everything that you can, because you're just having the green, you're possibly not getting enough.
Every different color is a different chemical behind it that has different beneficial effects on your system.
So when you have a vegetarian diet, because he was basically talking about a protein vegetarian diet, how can we increase the variety in a vegetarian diet without bringing in meat?
Basically, we have to try all of the other type of plants that we have never tried before.
Uh-huh.
Thinking about forgotten grains like amaranth or millet should be part of the diet. And then I wouldn't neglect, for example, a nut in a plant-based diet. It's really important. It's a condensed source of energy and also the essential fatty acids and protein also.
Okay.
Do you eat meat yourself, Chaba? If so, what meats do you eat?
I eat meat. I mean, I eat red meat not more than twice a week, mostly fish, chicken, turkey. That is in my diet. And then fermented dairy products also a lot.
Fermented. And that would be to enhance, like, gut bacteria?
Yeah, yeah, the beneficial bacteria.
Okay.
Well, could you expand on that? What is fermenting meat? What does it mean to ferment meat? I've never heard that.
Could you repeat it?
Could you explain what that is?
Can you hear me okay?
Fermentation, yeah. That's a special type of bacteria that basically breaks down the sugar of the milk, for example. So many times people who are sensitive to milk, fermented milk products, won't cause any problems.
Mm-hmm. So are you talking about like raw milk?
Oh, I see.
It can be raw milk, but for example, some yogurt, if it's organic, or kefir, it's more popular.
Right, kefir, yeah.
Yeah, kefir.
You know, this is interesting. My mother loves raw milk and raw dairy products, and she gets raw milk and then makes her own sour cream and yogurt and all different kinds of stuff, and kefir. And, the Weston Price Foundation, are you familiar with them?
No.
The Weston Price Foundation, they are big advocates of raw milk. And, pasteurized milk and pasteurized and homogenized milk has all of the bacteria killed. So it's basically dead milk that you're drinking. It tastes like milk, but there's no bacteria in there to help encourage your digestive system. So when you're talking about raw foods and fermented foods, it's the whole purpose of that is to increase your gut bacteria so that you can nominally or ingest and digest your food without putting extra strain on your system.
Yes, and it's a big part of your immune system also.
Right, the immune system, right.
We're talking with a professional trainer, Chaba Peshi, today on In Context about your health, about, in particular, exercise and nutrition and how you can make a better yourself, make yourself stronger and healthier in the coming year. And you can speak to Chaba by calling us at 203-336-9756. That's 203-336-9756.
Now, Chaba, as we get older, should we eat less red meat? Or is it okay to eat it when you're younger and then taper off as you get older?
Yeah, there are some research who doesn't advocate the huge amount of red meats in our diet.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, with the younger athletes, it's a good way of... there are studies that were increasing testosterone levels in the body, so red meat is a really good source of amino acids. But in general, we should eat less and less as we are getting older.
And that's just because it's too much strain on our digestive tract?
And then the metabolism in every decade is decreasing of the human body. So if we eat the same amount of foods, that's what happens. Everybody gains weight.
Mm.
That stays on the body because we are not burning off.
Yeah, I've noticed that, Chaba. I'm quite a bit older than Gus.
You do fine. You're
and
all right.
I've noticed as I get older, my body seems to require less food. And if you don't adapt to, if you don't listen to your body, you end up gaining weight pretty quickly.
Yeah, and also we are getting more comfortable. So, yeah, as we are getting older, it's harder to push ourselves. It's not like in the young age when we are competing with each other. So that's another factor that the workouts are usually not as hard. Of course, if you would maintain that high level of intensity, as there are some old individuals, like Jacqueline, for example, you can maintain a really nice solid.
Now, since we're talking about aging here, how can we, what's the trick, the secret to aging gracefully and staying in shape, staying at optimal fitness instead of falling apart? Everybody I know is just like an old car being held together with duct tape and string, and you know, there's like the fender hanging off, you know, and they're like their knees don't work, they creak, they crack everywhere they go, they can't run anymore, going upstairs is painful, and these are people in their early 40s, and I'm looking at this, I'm like, that is not going to be me. There is no way. What's the trick to aging gracefully, Chaba?
The body and the mental. Mm-hmm. Part is equally important. So physically, basically, you have to provide the good healthy nutrients, and then the biomechanical health.
Mm-hmm.
not going to the orthopedic clinic at the age of 50 or 60 or even earlier, then what I told you earlier, you have to learn how to move. And we have some accumulated injuries during the year, and you have to learn how to get rid of those things from the muscle. I'm thinking muscle knots here, flexibility problems. These things are coming first before you would involved in a high workout or exercise program.
I believe we have another call for you, Chava.
We'll revisit this topic in a second.
Yes, it's Bill from Madison. Excuse me.
Hi, Bill. You're on the air with Chava.
Hi. First, I'll tell you, the problem is that there's no audio coming back from you guys on the phone.
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
All right.
March,
you have your radio on. Thank you. We've had some gremlins in our phone system today, so we appreciate the feedback.
If you see Good Morning Vietnam, that's we're using the same board.
Right. So now I've got a single speaker in one ear, so it'll work for us. So
great.
I'm a ham radio guy, so I can handle it.
All right, good.
This is the question no one's been able to answer for me for exercise. I'm something of a meathead in exercise because I used to play ice hockey and race bicycles, and you don't have to go much farther to understand what I mean.
Okay.
But I'm also, somebody explained that I'm a bleeder, and what that is there are racehorses that when they go out, they actually cough up blood. And ever since I've been little, if I don't warm up enough, if I just go out, and it happened to me 2 days ago, actually, because I tried to run with my son, which is a bad idea when he gets to 14. Because suddenly they're faster, and you don't want to let it go. Right. So I went out, you know, and I was trying to maintain a 7-minute mile, and I couldn't. And so, sure enough, I started to taste the blood, and then everything hurts. And then you start, eventually it kind of evolves to the point where your ears are itchy and tingling. And this has been a lifelong thing. If I don't warm up, it'll never happen. And this has been bothering me, and no trainer's ever been able to explain it to me, and no doctor's ever explained it to me.
This sounds awful. Chaba, have you heard of this?
What was your question?
Can you hear him at all?
Yeah, I've heard it.
Just all right, so his question is that...
You start out tasting blood, you're running too hard, and you start out by sort of tasting blood in your mouth. It's not like you see blood, you just taste it. And your lungs really hurt. You get this, like, really super winded feeling.
Yeah.
But then, in addition to that, as it sort of evolves, you start to even get strange things like your ears itch. And that's just one of the many symptoms. But the biggest thing is that you taste blood.
But wait a minute. You're not actually bleeding, right?
Well, I don't know. You just taste blood.
Well, wait a minute. So is this kind of like your hormones are kicking into the point where it's overflowing your body? Is it almost like the taste of iron? Like a metallic taste?
Yeah, and it only happens if you don't warm up.
All right. So this sounds almost like you're flooding your body with endorphins. But maybe Chaba can comment. Do you know?
I mean, have you ever checked that it's actual blood or just the...
No, so blood? No, never. Because
it's a
no
taste.
Doctor ever takes it seriously. Because if you're in great shape and walk into a doctor's office, they say, what the hell are you here for?
Right. I'll give you some drugs. You go away.
Because you can try to find out if it's real blood or not. Maybe your nose is really sensitive, and then as you start really hard, maybe there are some small ruptures, but I'm not sure what
that
is.
Okay, so it continues to be a mystery. Anyway, you've got some great comments, and I'm enjoying the show very much.
Well, thanks for your call.
Yeah, thanks very much.
It kind of sounds to me like a flooding of endorphins, like an increased iron content in the blood or something like that. It's very peculiar. So we were talking about aging and staying fit as an older person. That's a good example. Someone who's trying to maintain a 7-minute mile as he's getting older. Is it a myth that we can stay in shape as we get older, or is it true?
No, it's true and achievable.
And achievable, okay.
Examples. Just it needs planning and dedication, and then organizing the whole lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that I've met you, and I don't know if you don't mind me saying so, but you're around 40 years old, right?
36th.
Oh, you're 36. Okay, all right. So you look ageless, all right, because you're fit. You're in shape. So I can't even tell what age you actually are. Now, somebody who is falling apart, they look 20 years older than they actually are, right? You know, and it's because you're just out of shape. You're falling apart. You have no benchmark for an age. But somebody who takes good care of themselves, you can't really tell what age they are because it's almost like outside of the American personality where, you know, unless you're sitting back at, Fridays and eating, 4-pound hamburgers and just getting fat, it's almost like we can't even identify it anymore. It's like an alien. What kind of lifestyle should people be trying to achieve, you know, to get in shape? Say you're talking to someone who's out of shape. They're 45 years old, and they want to get back into the swing of things. They want to be able to play sports again. They want to be able to run with their teenage son. How do we get back in shape?
First, I would recommend a whole detailed evaluation where the whole medical and health background would be evaluated, because so many things are turning out during that process. And treating all of those problems, a good health and fitness program should be started, considering all of those factors like blood lipid profile, joint problems, any kind of health issues. And then you mentioned the age. It's really interesting because we have the chronological age that we are counting in years, but your biological age can be a lot different.
Right? Ah, yes.
20 years difference, and that's based on your genetics, but yeah, you can influence it with your lifestyle a lot.
And can you reverse that once you've let it go? Let's say your biological age.
Your body is miraculous. If you think about it, we are replacing all of our cells in every few years. So three years from now, you are a completely different person.
Well, that's a great way to look at it. So it's a continual rebirth.
So you can always, you can reverse.
You can turn it back.
That's good.
What are those things?
Sure, yeah. Go into anything you want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, there are some orthopedic problems that you can reverse, but there is always solutions for not stop moving. It doesn't matter what age or what condition you are at.
Let's give out the phone number one more time. It's 203-336-9756. 203-336-9756. And, of course, we're talking with Csaba Pesci. You can find his website at csabasport.com, and that's C-S-A-B-A sport, S-P-O-R-T.com. You can learn more about his training regimens and some of his ideas there. I remember we last connected a few weeks ago because I had gotten one of your newsletters and you had talked about GMO labeling program. And so I sent you a note saying I was happy to hear that you were on board with the GMO labeling program. Do you care to talk about anything about that?
Yeah, basically every kind of changing in our food chain is unpredictable. So there are research on both sides with big name scientists, but I would always go for what Mother Nature created for us.
Right. The real thing. You were telling me a little bit about your workout routine, how you don't use machines, how everything you do is like free weights and hanging and climbing and running and, you know, the natural, like the hunter workout, basically. And so to eat things like GMOs, which is science and man-made, would be completely counterintuitive to living that kind of a lifestyle, right?
Yes.
We do have a call. Let's go to that, March. Can you bring it up?
This is Diane from Milford. Go ahead, Diane.
Hi, Diane. You're on the air.
Diane, can you hear us? Oh, my God. This phone is killing us today. What the heck?
I think it's pot 10. I don't think she might not be able to hear
us. Can you put it on the other one?
Yeah, bear with me a second.
All right.
All right. Sorry.
Sorry, Diane. Will Diane have to call back?
Callers and listeners. We are just dealing with some stuff.
Diane, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, great.
The video was off.
Oh, no problem. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks, Marshawn.
Okay. Can I ask my question?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm calling regarding my mother. She's in wonderful shape. She's going to be 70 years old in February. She goes for walks every day. Every day, like long walks, two-hour walks. She's in really good shape.
Uh-huh.
But she, this is kind of getting back to the sleep, the subject of sleep.
Yes.
She can't seem to get a good night's sleep anymore. And I didn't know if there was anything that you could recommend. You know, regarding that, you would think as much as she exercises and everything else, she'd be able to get a good night's sleep, and she doesn't sleep enough, and I don't know, I mean, at her age, I would think that, you know, at any age, that's a problem.
Is she taking any stimulants, like caffeine at the later part of the day, afternoon or evening?
Is she taking what?
The stimulants of any type?
Right.
You know, she does drink coffee once in a while.
Like every day?
Yeah, probably every day, maybe like one or two cups.
Okay.
Maybe she's very sensitive to caffeine. What do you think, Csaba? Could that be it?
I mean, all of the factors should be considered. The room, if there is any light source in her room, and then organizing the whole second part, the late afternoon and the evening, calming down the body, maybe prayer, meditation, or any kind of relaxation technique would help, or herb teas that are helping turning off the sympathetic nervous system
okay.
a little bit.
Caller, can you hear Chab okay?
I kind of heard something about meditation.
Well, he was talking about when does she work out, in the morning or in the evening?
Actually, she goes out twice a day, in the morning and in the afternoon.
All right,
walks. She is having problems, she's retired now and getting used to that type of lifestyle,
right.
that type of thing. But I mean, I would think with the amount of exercise she has, and she'll wake up, she'll go to sleep, she'll fall asleep, and then she'll wake up, at like 12 o'clock and not be able to sleep like for the rest of the night, and mm-hmm. she can't turn her mind off.
Well, one of the things that Chaba said, I'll just try to relay his answers to you since you can't really hear him that well, was that he said, is there light sources in the room? There's lots of different things that affect our sleep. So he said to structure your day so that in the second half of the day, it's a wind down period so that you're getting yourself ready for that restful period. So maybe putting the workouts in the beginning of the day rather than at the end, and also eliminating things that could be a possible source of waking up, light sources or bright lights out the windows, things like that. Because when you're asleep, and I happen to notice, I did some research on this, when you're asleep, and you see bright lights, you have completely eliminated your body's production of serotonin, and melatonin, which helps you to sleep and stay asleep. So waking up in the middle is very bad. But we have to leave it there. We thank you very much for the call. We only have a minute left.
Thanks, Diane.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chaba, we're gonna wind it down here. So could you maybe plug anything that you're working on? Give out your website or any groups or organizations you're working with. Just go ahead and plug that now.
Yeah, right now I'm working with a company. We are creating an educational company for professionals, basically providing counting education credits, so I'm working on that right now.
Oh, great.
Also, I'm working on a nutrition guideline for a manual or a small book that I would like to release soon in the future. And then back solution programs, because so many people, because of the sitting lifestyle, have problems with the back. That's what I'm currently working on.
Please hang up and try your call again. If you need assistance...
Oh, my God, these phones.
Please hang up.
And again, the website, your website...
Can you just turn that pot down?
No, because he's on the same pot. Oh, that's the only way I could get her to hear it.
All right.
Okay, what was Chaba's website again?
Chaba's website.
Please hang up and try your call.
Can you hear us now?
Can you?
Okay. Okay. We no longer have the visitor from the phone company.
We have some crazy stuff going on here. And anyway, your website is chabasport.com, CSABASPORT.com. And we thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks very much, Chaba. It was very enlightening.
Very interesting.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
We'll be on again in 2 weeks. Next Monday will be the Spartan Luther King special. So we'll be back on noon Monday, January the 23rd.
All right. Stay healthy, everybody out there. Stay strong. To retake the Republic, we need strong minds and bodies.
InContextReport.com.
That's right. And find us on Facebook.
Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.